We are tonight in our lesson five here of our study of the Prayer Warriors Prayer Program, and we are looking at three keys that are practical keys. We saw the priority of prayer in our first part there. Then we looked at last week the second key, and that was the program of prayer. And we went through taking the hour of prayer that Jesus says, what could you not pray with me 1 hour? And we took that and broke it up into 12 5-minute sections from praise to right on through different areas and then finishing off with praise. And so you had the priority of prayer, and then you had the program of prayer, and tonight we're going to be going off into the third and final point here on this area, on the practice of prayer, the three keys. Again, just a quick review. You've got those two there that we have covered. And then tonight we're going to be working on the place of prayer. The place of prayer. I'll give you a chance to get there. Debbie had texted me today. She had a little thing that she can print out that has the attributes of God, and not all of them, but it has quite a few, about 30 or so of them, that she is going to print out, and if you want one, maybe she'll make one for you, that has during the 5 minutes to begin your praise and the last 5 minutes to end it, you could look at those attributes in praising for those that you have that there. So just get with Debbie, and then she'll be able to get you. So we'll know how many to print up. So tonight we're going to look at that. So your first blank is the place of prayer. And the place of prayer is significant. It's that helps you with developing your habit. If you have a place that is set aside for prayer, that will enhance your being consistent to that place. I made mention Althea the other day, just probably a couple of weeks ago, took one of the closets and emptied it all out and put it in other closets. She's very orderly about all her closets. Amazes me. Mine, if things are hanging up, that's good, you know. But she's got things, decorations and everything on it. Like, wow, you live in this room? But she took this closet, emptied it out, and has it with her prayer map on the wall and different things all over the wall, just very organized. So I thought, oh, I never have really looked at it since she's been here, but she's gone this week. So I thought, well, I'll just go take a look at it. So I opened up the door, was looking at it, and thought, wow, this is really organized. This is a nice place. I think a nice place of prayer, and it, by the way, it doesn't have to necessarily be in a closet. It can be in a variety of places, and we'll see that tonight. But the first thing that we see here in our first blank is the place of prayer. And the scripture here is Matthew 6 and verse number 6. Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus says, but thou, he's talking individually, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is one of these early verses I remember as a new believer being introduced to this mindset of prayer. And I remember the preacher zeroed in on the third, fourth, and fifth word in that verse, when thou prayest. This is Jesus talking here, and so Jesus is assuming that those that he's talking to has a prayer life. You see that here? When he says, when thou prayest, he's assuming they do have a time that they pray. And so Jesus is assuming that you and I, as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ, he's assuming that you have set times for prayer. That's the Christian life, is the prayer life. The definitions we have is the word room, which is a Greek word, tamion, which means where we get the word closet up in that verse. It means a closet or a secluded place. A place where there's, when you think of seclusion, you're talking about no interruptions. There's no, you don't have your phone there to go off on you. You leave it outside your area. You have no distractions there. And that has to be done at different phases in your life. If you're young, married with young children, that can change things. Suzanne Wesley had, anybody know how many children she had? 19 children. Okay. Okay. She had a few. And she really had, because it wasn't like we have the luxuries of what we, you know, she had, or what we have today. So she had no place to go for prayer, but she understood the power of a place of prayer. Does anybody know what her place of prayer was? Helen? That's exactly what she did. Remember, they wore aprons all the time. I remember my grandma always wearing her apron, you know. And she would go into her time of reading, and she would take her, in prayer, she'd take her long apron, she'd put it over her, and she had trained her children that when she was under that, they were not to disturb her. And she must have done a pretty good job. She had two of those guys come up and be preachers, you know, well-known, Charles Wesley and Jonathan Wesley. So we see that that doesn't necessarily mean you have your own little place that you go. She didn't have a place, so that's how she would do that, and they understood that. Also, it's interesting, it means a tamiang is defined not only as a storage room for your food, stuff like that, which is, if you notice in your notes here, it speaks of nourishment, but also a bed chamber, which speaks of intimacy. And so when you have those two and you take that mindset of nourishment and intimacy and consider that this is the time that you're having with the Lord, you need to understand that when you go into that prayer mode, it's a time to receive nourishment from the Lord. We receive it from His Word, but we're also receiving it in His presence. As a matter of fact, the word nourish means to, you're going to get things in that prayer closet that will sustain you, things that will supply what is necessary for your life, spiritual life in particular. And then the word intimacy, as you would know, speaks of a close, familiar, and usually an affectionate relationship. Draw nigh, get close to me, God says, and I will get close to you. He's speaking of intimacy and having that relationship. So when you enter into that closet and you close that door, if you would, and begin that opportunity, you're going to go in there to get nourished. When you think of the prayer program and the things that you're asking and you're interceding and there's so much, you're going to draw from that things that you need, and then you're going to draw closer to the Lord at the same time. It's a very, should be, prayer should be, and it's not always, I have to confess for myself, it's not always a intimate time for me. Sometimes I'm trying to race to get things done because I got things I want to do, and it's not the way I should be doing it. And shame on me. As we go on, it gives us some biblical examples of a place of prayer. These are just examples here. The first one we have is Abraham, and the scripture is Genesis 19:27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. So what was the place where he did? Well, in you go on reading in Genesis, his place of prayer was an altar. He had constructed an altar, and there he had his time, and he stood in his prayer time. Nothing wrong with that. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can prostrate yourself, whatever. You can be walking and praying. A lot of people, I don't do it at home, but I would rather walk and pray out loud if I was in a church building. So here we have Abraham's place was an altar. On page, the next page over, number two, you have the man by the name of Daniel. And by the way, I want you to notice that all the individuals that we're looking at in these examples, including Jesus here, are all great, powerful men of God. And it all can be linked back to their prayer, their time given in that area. Look what it says about Daniel in Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Yeah. So, I mean, this is he was breaking the law of the land, if you would. It was a decree. You all know the story that you could not pray to any god other than the king himself. The king was deceived, and that cost those that deceived him. It cost them in the end. And what they wanted to happen to Daniel happened to them and their families. Kind of like Esther, Mordecai, and Haman situation, okay? And here we see Daniel's place was, it says here in the scripture, a chamber. It was a chamber. If you look up the word chamber, it simply means, it's actually interesting, it doesn't just mean a room, it means a room on a roof. So when I realized that, I realized, well, this is kind of interesting, because you jump into the New Testament and we have another man praying, and it's Peter. And Peter was where? Up on the roof praying at noon. And so we can almost see that Peter, you know, because Peter was praying at noon, so Daniel prayed at morning, noon, and night. So evidently Peter may have been following that same pattern.
What about the Shunammite in the Old Testament?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yeah, they had a chamber for him. Yes, correct. So interesting here how he has a different place, the same, listen, different place, the same God, the same power is available. So you should have a place, but it doesn't have to be anything in particular. God gives that liberty. Then we have the third one is Jesus himself. Excuse me. And it says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. It's interesting that Abraham, we read, got up early in the morning. Jesus rose up a great while before day. Jesus' place was a garden, a garden. And that garden was known as Gethsemane. You understand, Jesus frequented that place so much, the disciples knew if they ever needed to find him, they could probably resort there, and there would Jesus be. Remember, when they decided to betray him, Judas knew exactly where to go. 99% of the chance we're going to find him, he'll be at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he'll probably be praying. And what was he doing, by the way? Praying, was he not? So even Judas observed that was a sacred time and a sacred place. So you have a garden, you have a chamber, you have an altar. Those are just a couple, 3 examples. Now, Dick Eastman gets into a thing here that he calls the gap concept, establishing a personal place of prayer that you need. That's a part of it. Remember, you have your priority, you have your program, how you're going to pray, and then you have the place. And it has in Ezekiel 22:30, the passage here for that. And I sought, this is God speaking, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Sad commentary. He says, I'm looking for a man that will stand before me on behalf of the land, on behalf of the people. He needed a gap filler, somebody filling in that gap. Folks, I don't know. I don't fully understand everything. But whenever I have my time of prayer, and particularly now as I pull out my prayer map that I'm praying daily around the world, I don't know really at what I'm trying to think of the right word because I can't think of it, but I don't know the potency that it's having. I don't know what it's actually influencing. But I bet you the person who was interceding that God was hoping would stand in the gap on behalf of the land had no idea if it was doing any good or not either. That's not up to us. It's up to us to be the gap fillers and to cry out for these countries, that for their leadership. First of all, that prayers should be made for all men in authority for kings. We should be praying when we come to those that we're praying for on that day, and pray that Satan, that God would through his name and through the blood, rebuke the wicked one, remove the blinders from them so that the light of the gospel can come. And we know that that's God's will for us to do that. So there has to be some effectualness that's happening that we don't get to see, but we'll one day find out. I mean, would it not be interesting that as you're praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, there is somebody that's being moved because of your prayer, and God's moving upon them, and that person goes out and they share the gospel, and a person gets saved or people get saved, and it would not have happened perhaps had you not been the one that was praying the Lord of the harvest to send them out. And so we see it's interesting that God can do whatever he wants. He's omnipotent. He just delights in using us for some reason. It's amazing. It's amazing. So here's the value of a personal gap. If you become one of those people that stand in the gap to pray for the land, pray for our country, pray for those nations around the world, there's a value in that. And he puts this down here. First off, it's a place of revelation. It's a place of revelation. If you begin to become that person who is standing in the gap that God's looking for, it will become a place of revelation. And I have there in brackets for you Peter's rooftop experience. Remember, Peter was on the roof praying at the noon hour. And it says, and on the morrow in Acts 10, and on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So it's about noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, so they're working on the lunch, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. You ought to underline, and saw heaven opened. What was happening here? He was standing in the gap, and God was going to give him revelation. He was going to reveal something to Peter, which would, folks, listen, this will give you a little bit of clue of what you have the potential to be doing and not even know it. Peter's going up there having his regular time of prayer. He would be eating, but the food wasn't ready. So while you guys are getting it ready, I'm going to go up and have a time of prayer. And as he's up, going up there, as he always had his time of prayer, God revealed something. God opened heaven to reveal something to him. And folks, what God revealed to him benefited you. Because it was God showing that it was time to go to the Gentiles. Cornelius would be the first one hit. And I want to tell you what that revelation did. Peter knew, never understood probably the far-reaching effects it would have all the way down to you and me to have the gospel brought to us. So don't take lightly your standing in the gap. He says, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. So we see, and we know that whole story, we see it is a place of revelation. God may reveal things to you in your prayer time. We would also maybe ourselves today more lean towards calling it illumination. He would illuminate something to you. The second thing, as we continue on the value of the personal gap, and I want you to understand it's a personal gap. It's you. God's looking for someone, and he's almost like an Elijah. Here am I, send me. It's a place of revelation. Secondly, it's a place of restoration. A place of restoration. It's probably the place where David understood and had revealed to him the still waters of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. So we have that restoration in that gap filling there. So I think that when we go into those places, God can reveal to us, God can restore us. You ever need any restoring? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Oh, what did you say? His name's sake. Correct. We need to remember that when we step into that place, don't we? And then the last one, this gap is a place of reflection. A place of reflection. Revelation, restoration, reflection, and you have, as they put in brackets, Paul's anti-anxiety prescription. And he tells us, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto the God, and the peace, the tranquility of God, which passeth all understanding. Check out this next part you're familiar with. Shall keep or shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need God to guard our hearts and our thinking. Man, big time, do we? Maybe even more in the last days. I don't know if Satan's temptations and his attacks are increasing and becoming more intense. I think they are on believers. But I think we need to have that time. That when you're in that place and operating that program and making prayer a priority, that's a good place to be, because you probably won't come under attack during those times. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. So that is wrapping up lesson 5. Next week we will begin lesson 6, the Prayer Warrior's Praise Life. We'll have 3 lessons in that. Then we'll go into lesson number 7. Once we get into lesson 7, we're going to be talking about the Prayer Warrior's marching orders. We will have then completed the first book of 4 volumes. We're only going to be 25% through the first book, okay? There's 2 full other books that will follow. This is a shorter one tonight, but I want you to notice, if you would, on the ponder points here. It says, ponder how having a special place of prayer, now notice how it's worded, could strengthen your intimacy, could strengthen your consistency in daily prayer. How would having such a secret place help you be more faithful and maybe more focused in daily prayer? So having a place that's set aside, even you might be, you know, content with where you're at, and that's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, I think, wow, is there somewhere else I could go to where it would be different? I don't know. I think there would be. I mean, I pray in the place where I do all my studies in the living room. Nobody else is around when I do it, when I'm up in the morning anyway. But I do know that Althea said that she had her place, and she could sit in her little room off of our bedroom, look outside. But she says as much as she loves the birds and all the outside, that within itself can become a distraction. But she said the first time she went into that closet, had it all set up, she goes, I closed the door. She goes, it just changed the whole setting. So a setting can change things if you have the ability for something like that. Look at the prayer points. So that's for something up. The ponder points are for you to write down yourself and record. The prayer points, again, ask God. This is what we're doing tonight. Ask God to help you keep a daily appointment by having a special meeting place for daily prayer, whether it's an unused room, an actual closet, or even an easy chair in the living room or bedroom. Declare in prayer your desire to keep a daily appointment with Jesus for devotional prayer. So tonight you're going to be asking the Lord, if you aren't being consistent, asking, Lord, help me to have a time for prayer every single day. said, well, that's been going on for a long time. Then up it. Up it like David did. Up it like Daniel did. Three times a day, you know. Act like you're, hey, this is, Texas is where Dr. Pepper started, right? 10, 2, and 4, right? If you can drink a Dr. Pepper three times a day, you could probably pray three times a day, right? Now, with this prayer for asking God to help you keep a daily appointment, we're going to tonight do like we always used to do and open this up for prayer requests, okay? And so I've got some written down. If they need to be updated, please let me know.